Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. He's Lance Meadow. I am John Schmelk, and you will be on the phones all show long at 201-939-4513. No guests today, folks. We want to give you today and tomorrow just to get in and get your final opinion on the draft and everything else going on in the land of the New York Football Giants. We've done a ton of guests in the last month. I want to make sure you have a chance to get in these last 36 hours or so before the NFL draft begins, and I'll actually do better, 32 hours before the NFL draft begins tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Dallas, Texas.
You want to throw an Eastern Standard Time? I thought you'd be a little bit more specific in terms of all the details.
Okay, well, how about this? Fort Worth, Texas. I'll be a little bit more specific.
There you go. That's what I like. I want all the details out. So,
but before we get to the draft, and I know that's what all your call is going to be about, and that's cool. Let's talk first, though, Lance, about what we saw in the practice field yesterday. And obviously there's been an ad nauseum micro managing and editing and analysis of what we saw yesterday. The bottom line, and we heard it from the guys today out in the field house, this is everyone getting their feet wet for the first time. And some guys played well, some guys had great moments, some guys had bad moments, some guys had both. And that's the process we're going to be in as these two guys hit the field for the first time with just 2 weeks' worth of meetings to absorb an offense and a defense. So this is the real, real early learning stages of this process, Lance.
Oh, and it's a very small sample size in terms of these guys getting on the field, to your point, John. I think Davis Webb, who actually spoke to the media before we came on, I mean, he, to me, put things in perspective. He said, you know, when you go out there for the first day, it's always the hardest day because you have guys running around, and you know not everybody fully knows the offense. So even completing a pass without contact is difficult at times under the circumstances.
And they're extra amped up because it's the first day of practice. So guys, he didn't use this expression, but he kind of made the point that guys are kind of like chickens running around with their heads cut off.
Nervous energy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. So it's very hard to look in sync, on the same page, and doing all those things great. And I know Davis Webb is the guy everyone wants to talk about. So real quick, from what I saw, had some good moments, had some bad, fumbled a couple of snaps, which is fine. It happens. It's a new center. You're figuring things out for the first time. It's not a big deal. Was off target on a few passes. Other targets, he fit him into really small spots, made some nice throws on a couple short passes to tight ends. Look, guys, we know what Davis Webb can do physically. He's pretty mobile, or he's mobile enough. He's big, he's strong, he's got a good arm, and he looks the part. And he did all those things yesterday. We knew all that. We're not really going to learn anything that much new about Davis Webb. Yeah, we'll learn a little bit more because he's now the number two for the time being. He'll get reps against better players than he did last year. That's fine. But let's be honest. We're not really learning anything, Lance, until he steps onto the field in the first quarter of that first or second quarter of that first preseason game, and he's got rushers coming at him that want to kill him. And let's see how he does.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you learn about all quarterbacks. Yeah. Davis Webb is not unique. I mean, this whole narrative, John, that – and Pat Shurmur has quieted that narrative. But despite trying to quiet that narrative, nobody wants to stop talking about it as if these 3 days that we're currently in the midst of is Davis Webb's pro day, and that all of a sudden what the Giants coaching staff sees out of these 3 days – could perhaps influence the direction they want to go in the draft, which to me is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
It's ludicrous, whatever
it's insane.
Other vocabulary
it's crazy.
Word you want to throw out. I mean, there's no way. I mean, even if you're not somebody that has followed football overwhelmingly over the years, that could come to the conclusion that in a non-contact set of 3 days, John, when a quarterback is throwing against air, that is going to convince them that he could be the successor to Eli Manning.
We think Sam Darnold is good as Andrew Luck, but you know what? Since Davis Webb hit a guy that he's never played with before down the field on target for a 20-yard in-cut, that's it. You know what? We don't want the next Andrew Luck. Yeah. We're going to stick with Davis Webb. And look, that was and I think from the beginning of this process, at least to me, Davis Webb's presence isn't what was going to be the balancer on the scale as to whether or not the Giants draft a quarterback. He's a factor. He's there. You compare the skill set of the quarterbacks coming out to his, absolutely. But as Dave Gettleman said at the Combine, if you see one of these quarterbacks and you believe that he's your next franchise guy for the next 15 years, you pick him. And if you think that, Davis Webb being on the team is not going to stop you. And Davis Webb, they tried to get him to give an annoyed answer about how he would be annoyed if the Giants drafted the quarterback. He was wonderful. He said exactly what he was supposed to say. And that part of the quarterback game he has down 100%. That guy knows how to win the media availability, yeah. win the press conference. He's, I hate to throw the word out, but he's like, you know, David Wright-ish, Jeter-ish, Judge-ish in terms of his ability to say the right thing. And he said, all I care about is the Giants becoming a better team. And if Dave Gettleman thinks the best way for the Giants to become a better team is to draft a quarterback, I'm 100% for it. Let's go. We'll compete, and we'll see what happens. That's above my pay grade. I don't want to make those decisions. I don't make those decisions. I'm here to be the best teammate possible and become the best quarterback I can be. And that's the only attitude he should have. And frankly, Lance, it's the only attitude anybody should have.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't even have to go that far with the comparisons, John. The guy that's in the same quarterback's room as him, I think, has set a good example, too.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, he pretty much handled it like Eli Manning has handled
media
during his tenure here in New York. What you laid out was 100%. I mean, the other thing that they tried to rattle him with was, and they asked Eli this question, John, over the last few weeks, you've had some of the top prospects actually come to the facility. And, you know, has that fired up Davis Webb? Does he get more amped up to make a statement? And he answered it just as you said. Going to be a good teammate. I am motivated myself. And let's face it, Davis Webb should have all the motivation in the world. He moved up to number two on the depth chart in the span of this offseason, and he understands what's in front of him. So you don't need to draft a quarterback to tell Davis Webb what is at stake here. That's another ridiculous story.
No, the guy's working his butt off, and he wants it. And that's why you think he has a chance, by the way. And that's why you think he has the chance to be the next guy. We don't know if he is or not. Heck, we don't know whoever the Giants drafted second overall is going to be a great player, despite the fact that people throw out can't-miss prospect around, which there really is no such thing, by the way. You don't know. But he shows the intangibles and the physical traits that he should be able to do it, but let's see him get on the field and do it.
Well,
that's it.
And the other
period, done.
The other thing that I want to add, because, you know, everybody always says, well, Davis Webb compared to these quarterback prospects, you have to essentially look at the collegiate tape because we haven't seen Davis Webb in a regular season game. But the other thing that a lot of people will point out, John, is, well, Davis Webb has a significant advantage over these quarterback prospects because he's had a year in the NFL, which I agree in terms of understanding what you need to be a professional. But as Davis Webb pointed out to us today, he is starting from scratch one, John.
If he was in the same system, it's a different conversation.
So it's almost as if he's back to equal footing somewhat if they were to go in the direction of drafting a quarterback. Because, and this is how he laid it out. He said, Eli Manning is on algebra 20.
Or was last year.
Was last year. But even to this degree, he's still on algebra 4 because he has so much experience. And Davis Webb said, I was on addition last year when he first came in to try to learn Ben McAdoo's defense. Now he says he's not on addition. Offense, excuse me. Now he's not on addition. He's on algebra 1, according to Davis Webb. But he is still having to flush everything out of his system from last year because all the jargon, all the language is completely new.
And if the Giants do at some point draft a quarterback, whether it's second or somewhere else in the draft, he'll have a 4-week advantage on the other quarterback that's here.
Yeah, and that's, once again, not a huge sample size.
Now, again, things like learning how to handle the huddle, and he mentioned that, something he learned from last year because he didn't do that in college. He was all no huddle. And he said the one thing he was very happy with, he didn't make any mistakes relaying the plays in the huddle yesterday. So little things like that, that'll give him a leg up, no question about it. But you're right, in terms of learning the system and the big picture stuff, you know, what happens on the field in games is what really gets you ready. You can only do so much, you know, in T-shirts and in the film room. It helps, of course, but we're not going to know anything until they get into a padded situation. Not a whole lot else to talk about. All the rumors of the Odell Beckham holdout turned out to be hogwash, which I think is really funny. We spent 2 weeks on the show with people calling out, freaking out that Odell's not going to show up and they have to trade him. And even though he can't even practice with an ankle injury, the guy's in the building. So that's something you don't really worry about. And they'll have another practice today, one more tomorrow, and then you get the draft on Thursday night.
Tomorrow will be a little bit shortened because of obviously the draft preparation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the schedule for the most part for these first 2 days identical in terms of how Pat Shurmur handled things. And they had a walkthrough today. They had a walkthrough yesterday, and they're going to practice shortly till about later in the afternoon and have an opportunity to get Eli Manning and Davis Webb plenty of reps.
All right, folks, we'll get to the draft as you go along. Lance and I, or at least I will give my final prediction and my final thought. And when I do, I'm going to talk for a long time in a row. I'll apologize ahead of time.
But thank you.
Because I've probably, except for the people upstairs, I can't imagine there's another person on this planet that's thought about this Giants draft pick more than I have. I've been through it so many times in my head. Paul DeTito, you're right. Yeah. Second most. You're absolutely right, Matt Cohen. Thank you. Second most. But I've been over this thing so many times in my head where I think I finally settled on something. And, you know, I've been back and forth a few times, and I think I've settled. So we can get to that whenever you guys want
to
ask the question.
To me. I don't know if that's a relief to the rest of them, but I am relieved to hear
this. I'm sure
you
are.
Tremendous news.
All right, let's get to it. You ready to take some calls?
I'm ready. Let's rock.
201-939-4513. Our buddy Stas out in Washington. We haven't heard from Stas in a while. What's up, pal?
Hey, what's up? So I deliberately haven't called in, and I waited to be right before the draft to call and make my point.
Go ahead.
Because everyone is changing every day. So a couple things real quick. If we're going to take a quarterback, in my opinion, it's Allen or Donald, and that's where it ends, in my personal opinion. Okay. But when I look at the NFL landscape, even look at the success of the Rams and what was the major difference in the Rams. Look at how other teams have built their teams, the Eagles, even the Giants before we drafted Manning. A lot of times teams don't just – there's another recipe. It's not always get your quarterback and build your team. There's also build your team, and when you see the stud you want, you go get them. And that's what the Eagles did with Wentz. That's what – the Giants had an O-line, a running game. We had Sharkey. We had a defense before we got Manning. You know, like, there's things that just other ways to play. So this mindset of, oh, you got to draft a quarterback, I think it's
well,
dumb.
Well, Stas, one thing. Stas, one thing real quick. The Giants did have Kerry Collins as their starting quarterback when they drafted Eli. So it's not like they didn't have
Warner,
a quarterback.
Kurt Warner, they had.
Well, look, Kerry Collins was their starter the year before Eli got there.
That's true.
So they had a good veteran starting quarterback. Yeah. Right.
Right. No, and I get that. But all I'm saying is that this I hear it over and over is like, if you're drafting that high, you know, you have to pick a quarterback. I just don't think that's the case. I think Quinton Nelson instantly makes the whole offense better, in my opinion. Okay? Wayne Gallman showed promise last year. Give him a better O-line. See what the kid can do. Mm-hmm. Give Eli Manning more time. See how quicker Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be able to get open. It makes the difference. Keep your defense off the field. See how much fresher they are when they take the field. It makes such a difference. And I just really hope that we play it smart, and we get. I wouldn't even mind going O-line number one, and O-line in the second round. I'd be completely honest with you, I wouldn't mind that. I just want to see the Giants get back to being able to control their own destiny on the field, and not hoping that we could get Beckham on a slant, Eli Manning doesn't get slacked, and Beckham could take it to the house. Like, that's just where I'm at, guys. I'll leave it to you. You could take apart my opinion any way you want to. Love the show. Always listening. I'll take you guys off air.
Thank you, Stas. I appreciate it. And look, I can't say picking Quentin Nelson's a bad idea. I get guarded too. I totally get that. And position value is something I'll talk about a lot later in the show. But he's really, really, really good. And the guard market, as we saw this offseason, teams are understanding, based on the contracts they're giving out, the importance of having very strong interior offensive line play. So I get it. I don't want to get into the quarterback thing again, why you like Allen more than the other guys. I have my feelings on that, and Lance does too. But look, I get it. And if that's your opinion, it's a valid one.
Yeah, I think that Nelson's a hell of a player, and I don't think you have to stretch to make an argument to say that he warrants the number two overall pick.
No.
The only thing that people are turned off by that is Johnny's not the sexy pick. But you need offensive linemen to win football games, as the last caller alluded to. So to say that you can't take an offensive lineman because he's not that player that's going to show up in the box score and get 100 rushing yards or throw for 300 yards or catch 80 passes, to me, is absolutely ridiculous, because a lot of the teams that address the interior of their offensive lines wound up actually making quick turnarounds and getting to the playoffs. And we've seen that across the board. It's not just unique for one squad.
Lance, who would have been three of the most successful Giants draft picks over the past 4 years? It's been Odell Beckham Jr., it's been Sterling Shepard, and it's been Evan Engram. Okay, and obviously Landon Collins would be the fourth guy in that group. But those are the three that are probably most successful. They're all flashy guys that make catches and put up numbers. How many games did the Giants win last year?
Three.
It's not just about that.
Of course. Well, I mean, that lays it out beautifully. Now, people are going to counter and say, well, a lot of those guys you named were banged up. But still, it wasn't as if before they got banged up that they were necessarily on pace to win 10 games or whatever it may be.
They were 0-4 before Odell Beckham got hurt.
So I don't think there's a big difference in terms of making that argument. But the guys in the trenches are such difference makers.
Yep.
And the caller brought up Rams, brought up Eagles. Now, I disagree slightly that they waited to take the quarterback once their quote-unquote house was in order. To me, they were working on things simultaneously. They did draft Goff a year before they signed Andrew Whitworth, so I'll give you that. But their offensive line, John, if you go back to Goff's rookie year, was not anywhere where you felt he's ready to step in front of that O-line and he's going to do damage.
Lance, their offense was a mess when Goff got there.
Exactly.
They had very little talent outside. The only guy they really had on offense was Gurley.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, they didn't really have anybody else that could catch the football, that could block or do anything else. So I agree with you. And here's the thing with the Eagles. The Eagles never really super-duper bottomed out. I mean, just 2 years before they drafted Wentz, they were won 11 games or in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were just moving on from the Chip Kelly reign.
Right.
That's essentially what they were doing.
And they were doing it while kind of switching quarterbacks in and out. They went from one quarterback to the other. You know, you went from Foles, and then you had eventually Bradford showed up there, and then you eventually went to Wentz. But different than coming off a 3-13 and having a 36 or 37-year-old quarterback. I think it's a little bit of a different comparison.
I agree. And one thing I want to add before we go back to the phone calls, the other reason why I disagree with the last caller was saying about that you need your house in order is the fact that when you draft a quarterback, John, and I've said this time and time again, this is not a draft pick for 2018 only.
No, it is not.
So who's to say
or at
that,
all, by the way.
Yeah. So who's to say the offensive line, how it looks in 18, is not how the offensive line is going to look in 2020 or 21. That's another reason why you can't say, well, there's no way we could draft a quarterback unless the offensive line right now is 100%. My argument would be you could draft a quarterback. I just wouldn't have the urge to put him in front of that offensive line if the offensive line is not ready to go.
And the offensive line, from a pass protection standpoint, in my opinion, is already better than it was last year simply because Nate Solder's on the team. The run game, I'm not willing to make that commitment
yet. We have
to
see.
But the pass game, just having that left tackle that you can rely on, difference maker. Tony in D.C., he's up next. Hey, Tony, what's going on, pal?
Hey, Jens, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Tony. What's up?
So, two quick things. So, first, I knew you guys were going to start with talking about the quarterbacks at minicamp. Because I'm sure, as you heard from the beat writers, one quarterback improved but looked inconsistent, and the other quarterback looked every bit of 37 years old. So, that's just a word, but that doesn't mean much so early in the
Tony, honestly, I didn't think Eli looked any different than he has the last 3 or 4 years in practice. So, I honestly, I didn't know what the beat writers wrote. I can tell you that Eli Manning threw one of the better passes I've seen in a couple years in his last play at practice. He threw a 30-yard missile on a skinny post of Sterling Shepard between three defensive players. That was one of the best throws I've seen in practice in the last 4 or 5 years. So, again, that was just me. Eli looked like Eli to me. I didn't see any change in him.
Neither did I. I didn't sense a dramatic difference. And I think anybody that's running with those conclusions to me is hungry to write a story and way jumping ahead to what may transpire throughout the rest of the offseason, at least.
And by the way, Tony, again, I have no idea who wrote that and what they wrote. That was just my impression from watching practice. Go ahead. What's your second point?
Oh, yeah, and plus, and like, this is not about Eli Manning. He's a made man. This is not about Eli Manning. But here's my question to you guys. What surprised me is that there are only two quarterbacks on the roster. And I thought it was genius bringing in Geno Smith last year because you hoped to be competitive. You wanted an experienced guy there in case Eli went down. You don't think we should, because we might not draft the quarterback. So you don't think we should bring in an older veteran QB?
Who's to say they won't do that, though?
Yeah, Tony, they can, and I would be surprised if they didn't add an undrafted free agent quarterback. I think that's be something that's probably going to happen after the draft. I would say they might use a 6th or 7th round pick on one, but they don't have a 6th or 7th round pick, so I think that might be a priority free agent for them. But, Tony, here's the thing. If you use a 3rd round pick on a quarterback like the Giants did on Davis Webb last year, by year two, he's got to be your backup. You can't go using a 3rd round pick on a quarterback and then he's your 3rd stringer for 2 years in a row. I don't like that allocation of resources. So I think you can count on Davis Webb to be your backup quarterback this year, and I'm comfortable with that. So I don't think you have to bring in a veteran. If you want to, cool, fine. I got no problem with that for training camp competition. But you got a real problem on your hands if Davis Webb isn't ready to be your backup in his second year as a 3rd round pick.
The other thing to take into consideration, at least at this point, I will say, Tony, to me, there's no urgency to have a 3rd quarterback because right now you want Davis Webb to get as many reps as humanly possible.
Even better point.
So why would you bring in a 3rd quarterback just to sit around and do nothing? Training camp, I get it. There may be some value to have some competition, push Davis Webb a little bit, assuming they don't draft anybody. But I don't think there's any meaning in bringing in a 3rd quarterback because Davis Webb should get as many reps. He should be rotating in and out with Eli Manning. No urgency to bring in another one.
Well, I'm not saying he shouldn't be the backup quarterback. He should, but you know, our guy's 37.
if he goes down and Davis Webb isn't the guy, well, there we are. You know, but that's all. But
the thing is, Tony, I don't mean to cut you off, but Tony, we're at the 90-man roster right now. You know, your point to me makes a lot more sense if we're at 53 and then we're actually playing meaningful regular season games and you're concerned about the depth chart. Right now, when you're at 90, I don't think there's that much, once again, urgency to say they need an extra arm at this point.
And I think it also would be hard to attract a good veteran by selling him on the fact he's the third-string quarterback. You know, these backup quarterbacks can kind of pick where they go a lot of times because they find the spot where they think they have the chance to play. And to tell a veteran he's going to come in here and be the third-string guy, and I'm not sure how attractive it is to those free agents.
Not a lot of upside,
quite honest with you. Right.
No, that's a great point.
Oh, no, and I'm with you, and that's very true, and that's very true. But, see, I kind of thought about it the other way. Since you have 90 spots, you would definitely have more quarterbacks. But anyway, on to my second question about the draft. And this isn't up to the fault of Gettleman, in my opinion, because he's been wheeling and dealing his butt off.
He's trying.
But we have lost a lot of top-end roster guys. I mean, many people have said, like, yeah, he's really cut the roster to the bone in terms of starters, which I do agree with. But maybe the way the market turned out, we didn't get as many replacements as I thought we would by now. So I got to give it to Paulie. Trading back looks a heck of a lot better right now. If we're not going to take a quarterback.
Well, who did they lose? Who did they lose, Tony, though? Who are you referring to?
JPP, I would imagine. Brandon Marshall.
Well, I mean, think about it. Not even Brandon Marshall was expected. I was shocked that JPP, DRC, Ross Cockrell, Justin Pugh, Weston Richburg, DJ Fluker. I didn't think all six of those guys would be gone.
That's a fair point.
I thought we'd keep at least one or the other. That's a lot of
I get that, and I think it remains to be seen whether or not, you know, there's somebody on the roster that's going to fill the void of a DRC or even fill the void of a Ross Cockrell. But if you're just looking at pure numbers, remember, Dave Gettleman did go out and he brought in five new defensive backs. So from a numbers standpoint, I don't see them lacking. I understand in terms of proven commodities, I think you have a strong argument. But numbers-wise, I think they brought in volume to say, hey, let the best man win at
and
this point.
And theoretically, Kareem Martin would be your replacement for Jason Pierre-Paul,
correct,
in theory, again.
Yeah.
And again, you signed Patrick Omame. He would replace Justin Pugh. And you add in Nate Solder. And then you have Brett Jones, who was here last year already as a replacement for Richburg. So, Tony, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. That's kind of where he is. And that's kind of where I am with the draft pick, too. And I'll kind of piecemeal this out. I'll talk about this part first. This is why, and I know you're against it, and I think I'm more in favor of it than Paul even is at this point. I think the Giants need numbers here. They're coming off a 3-13 year, Lance. Right now, do we know for sure who the Giants' third wide receiver is? No, but not a big need. I still think they need a starting offensive lineman. I think they need another running back that can be a significant part of this rotation, if not the overall starter. I think you need corners on defense that have high-end talent. I think I would like more competition at safety next to Landon Collins. I think you need more bodies in the linebacker room that have high-end talent. And I think you need another pass rusher that can, you know, help Olivier Vernon get to the quarterback on a consistent basis. So that's six or seven spots there where I think there's a legitimate spot where I would want more talent in the room. And the Giants only have six picks in this draft with the extra picks they picked up in the third round. So to me, I would be very anxious to try to stack some picks in this draft if you can. And if you get the right deal from the Bills, you could walk away with four or five starters in the first 2 days of the draft. I think that might be more helpful to this team in the short and long term than getting that one big banger at the top.
Well,
that's just me.
I mean, I agree with your point that volume is important because look at all the injuries that the Giants have dealt with. I'm a little bit leery of once you remove yourself from that top five, top 10 area, and to use Buffalo as an example, Buffalo's at 12.
And
you're now decreasing your chances from getting one of the non-top quarterback prospects. And the debate is, listen, would you rather have the can't-miss top non-quarterback prospect
and
a bunch of peripheral – well, I'm wording it like that. I agree with your sentiments. And a bunch of peripheral complementary guys in the rest of the rounds? Or would you rather just have a bunch of complementary guys that could very well stay healthy and contribute, but you don't necessarily have that wow me solo prospect?
Correct. Well, here's how I look at it. And this, I'll kind of get into my draft thing now, and this will build up as we go throughout the show. You said it right. it decreases your chances of getting that top position player, right? But if you go back through past drafts and you take a look at where guys were picked that ended up being perennial All-Pros or Hall of Famers, a lot of times it's guys picked in the top five. But there are a significant number of times when there's not. So if you take a look at this draft, what's the percent probability that a guy picked between 10 and 20 could end up being better than the guy the Giants pick at 2? 20%? 30%? 35%? 40%? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody does.
That's a guessing game.
It's a nebulous number. But the question is that is the chance that Barkley's that much better than Derwin James or Minkah Fitzpatrick or, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, is that percentage chance worth not having two or three additional picks in the draft? I don't know that. If you're picking a quarterback, which is the most important position on the field, that's value. I can't argue with that in trading down if you love one of the quarterbacks. That's too important a spot. But if you're talking about a guard or a running back and the positional value there and the depth of those positions later on in the draft, which you've talked about a ton, you can get a starting caliber player that I think can impact the game almost as much as those guys at the top of round
two. Well, especially running back, I would point out.
No question. And especially if you trade with the Bills at 12 and 22, right? You have that 22nd pick in the draft, you could probably select any other running back in the draft at that point. I don't think another running back is going to be gone by 22. So if you love Darius Geis, go get him. You like Sony Michel, go get him. You could pick whatever guy you want. And would I be shocked and blown away that Sony Michel is really close to the production of Saquon Barkley? No. That wouldn't shock me. Would it shock me if in 5 years that Derwin James or Minkah Fitzpatrick are just as good as Bradley Chubb? Wouldn't shock me. Do I think Chubb will be better? Yeah, I think so. But would it shock me if they're not? No, wouldn't shock me. That's why I think if you're sitting there and you're looking at a position player, and again, there's no guarantee this offer is going to be there. Maybe the phone doesn't ring, and maybe this deal's not on the table. Very possible. But if you can get their two ones, a two, and then one other piece, whether it's another two this year or one next year, and you can get three players for the price of one, given where the Giants are coming off a 3-13 year, if you're talking about position players, I will roll the dice on that second tier of players in this draft and getting two more guys later versus one of Barkley, Nelson, or Chubb. I think mathematically that's the right bet to make.
Well, I'm certainly going to listen to an offer like that, but I'd want the one next year to really
so would I.
Feel much better about rolling that dice.
So would I.
I mean, that would then tilt it heavily in favor of saying, hey, you know what, two's a great spot, but this is an attractive offer to help the team from a volume standpoint, from a long-term standpoint.
And I talked about this with Paul on Tuesday, or was it Monday? Monday. And my deal was you get 12, you get 22, you get one of their second-round picks, whether it's, I believe they have 53 and 56, if I'm not mistaken. So even let them keep their better second-round pick. Take 56.
You take the second.
Take 56, and then you get their first-round pick next year.
Yeah, that deal makes sense.
And I would sign up for that in a second. Maybe the Bills aren't offering that. I don't know the answer to that question. But if you're looking at a position player, and I'll give my that was a lot of my spiel. So if I'm sitting there too, Lance, and again, this is just my opinion. It's not what the Giants are thinking or going to do. Simply my opinion. If Sam Darnold's there, I take him. Because to me, every quarterback in this class has a big-time blemish that scares me a little bit, okay? Josh Allen, the anticipation and the stuff we talked about with Dan Orlovsky, the accuracy, scares the heck out of me. I'm not sure you could fix that. Josh Rosen's durability, doesn't protect himself well, has had a lot of injuries. You can't fix that. That just is what it is, all right? Baker Mayfield, 6 feet, 1.5 inch tall. I can't fix that.
No, can't teach right.
As you can speak to, yes. You tried to fix it. You
no.
can't fix it.
Well, I haven't tried to fix it. I'm content, despite speculation.
You
but
are
anyway,
what
yes.
you are, and that does affect you as a quarterback. I know people say, well, Russell Wilson can do it. Well, one, Russell Wilson's a better athlete than Mayfield is. But if you watch Russell Wilson play, Lance, a lot of the times he does have guys open when he's in the pocket, but he has trouble seeing them because he's only 6 feet tall, and he has to break the pocket to roll out and create something. Not everyone can be a quarterback genius like Drew Brees and navigate the pocket like that at 6 feet tall. And I have a hard time betting on somebody being able to do that. So, again, Darnold, to me, doesn't have one of those super red flags. I think what his issues are, you can fix. And I'm confident that you can with his skill set. So Darnold's there, I take him. If the Browns take Darnold, which I still think is likely. I don't know what your opinion is, but I think that's probably the most likely scenario right now. And you're sitting there, trade down for the reasons I just gave in my previous spiel, is why I would try to trade down. Now, if you can't trade down and you're looking at Rosen or Mayfield, and then you're looking at the three premium position players, right? You got Barkley, you got Chubb, and you got Nelson. The two quarterbacks, the Giants and other NFL teams are going to have more information on those guys than I will in terms of medical and other things that I can only look at the tape. I don't know what guys are saying about them in the locker room, whether they like them off the field stuff, medical. We don't have that information
those
like
red
teams
flags,
do. So I'll let the Giants figure out. If they are sold on one of those two guys and they love them, I'm fine. Pick them. Go ahead. But let's say those are out of the picture and you're not going quarterback, okay? And you're down to the three position players, Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson. And you got to pick one. The trade's not there. You're not picking a quarterback, and you got to pick one. I'm not a full-blown analytics guy, but I do think they're valuable. I think you have to take it as part of the equation. And when you look at the NFL and the way it's played now, with the value of the passing game, it's a passing league. And yes, I do believe the running back can impact the passing game in that you bring guys up into the box. It makes things a little bit easier.
Especially if they could receive the ball and catch the ball.
No question. Yeah. And I'll get to that in a second. And I think that's the argument for Saquon Barkley in that he's not just a runner. He can be an impact player in the pass game, in the return game even if you want. He can protect the passer. He can be on the field on third downs. But I can't get it out of my head that as a pure rusher, it would not surprise me at all if either Darius Geis or Ronald Jones or Sony Michel are better pure runners than Saquon Barkley in this draft. And that's why I can't sell myself on that. And I know that's what everybody wants, and that's the peer pressure. I'm not going to give in. I'm not picking the running back at two because I like the other guys in the class too much that I know I can get later on, and I'm not going to do it. Then you're down to Nelson and Chubb. And I keep going back to Quentin Nelson because I think his bust factor is significantly lower than Barkley, and I think Barkley is going to be a very good player. But I don't see any way, barring a catastrophic injury, that Quentin Nelson's not an all-pro. I really don't. I don't see it. But he's a guard. And I like the guards later in the draft. Isaiah Wynn, Will Hernandez, James Daniels. I can get one of those guys at the top of two. I can do that. So then you're down with Bradley Chubb, who I don't think is a prime rib, grade A prospect. I think he's really, really, really good. I'm not sure that he's great. But I've seen teams look for pass rushers for a decade and not be able to find one. And when we look back at that article that we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago and you look at bust positions, the first round is full of running back busts and they're full of defensive line busts. I think Bradley Chubb has a very high floor. He's great technique-wise. He knows what he's doing. He works really hard. He checks all the boxes off the field. And if I had to pick between those three, I think I'd pick Chubb because of the positional value. And I'm pretty sure the Giants don't think that way because Dave Gettleman has pointed out, aside from quarterback, he doesn't believe in the whole positional value thing. He's going to pick the highest graded player, and that's his prerogative, and I totally get it. I'm not telling you Nelson's a bad pick. I'm not telling you Barkley's a bad pick. This is simply my perspective. I get why you would select those other two guys. I totally understand. But I think the fact that the defensive end position falls off a cliff in this draft after Davenport and the kid from Boston College, Harold.
There's more of a gap there.
Yeah, there really is. So I worry about what happens with this Giants defense without a pass rusher. I mean, we talked about the holes, linebacker, corner, you know, maybe even safety. Last year they were inconsistent getting to the quarterback, and they lost their second-best pass rusher, Jason Pierre-Paul. And, yeah, you can try to generate it with blitzes and stuff, but as you well know, it's about the players winning one-on-one battles to get there. That's how you do it. And I think you need it. And I've had enough people tell me that they think Bradley Chubb is going to be great, even though I'm not sure about it, people that I trust and I think know what they're talking about, that I think right now if I had to make that pick, that's what I would do.
So
and that's my spiel.
Chubb 1, Nelson 2, Barkley 3 then, based on what you just laid out.
Do I have to pick a 2 and a 3?
Well, I just like to know the order. Because that's how it sounded to me. You were selling yourself on Chubb. I get that. But then you said there's more upside to Nelson than Barkley.
I think I might pick Barkley over Nelson.
So it's Chubb, Barkley, Nelson.
I didn't get that far. I know Chubb.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
I know Chubb's my number one. How about that?
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't have to rank the other two guys two or three.
No, well,
and
by the way, out of curiosity.
I'm fine with any one of those three guys, which is why I still think if you can somehow trade down to five or six, which, right away, I don't think is realistic right now. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's a market for those teams to move up unless the Bills can somehow get the sixth or fifth pick and then make a
and
second trade to get up
trade,
to. But
which is
I'm not betting on that.
Yeah.
That's why I would love to be at five or six because you get one of those three guys, which I still think are the best prospects in the draft. And
you
that's
get extra picks
and
along
you
the
get,
way.
Well, even if you only get one or two extra picks, cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting a premium player and I'm getting extra. Where do I sign up? Heck, I take one pick. If you get, like if the Browns called you at four and said, I'll give you one of my two picks at the top of the second round to go from two to four, I try to negotiate for more. But if my clock on my draft picks at minute 30 seconds and I can move down just two spots and get an extra, you know, get the 32nd or get the 33rd or 35th pick in the draft, don't tell Dave Gettleman or the Browns this. I do that
yeah,
trade.
Yeah, I know. Well, you have a secret that you're giving away.
Yes.
I just, from Cleveland's perspective, I don't see why they would make that deal. But I get it. You're looking at more
I'm just saying
the
what
Giants'
if.
Lens. No, yeah. It's hypothetical.
Yeah.
Personally, Denver, with John Elway saying that he's more than happy to trade that pick, I don't see them having the urgency to move up.
Neither do I.
And then Indianapolis already moved down.
And
now
all
of a sudden they're going to want to move back up?
No, they'll probably want to move down again,
yeah.
if anything.
So,
right.
Once again, Buffalo to me is the most realistic, but Buffalo has to get higher to me to make it a little bit more appealing to the Giants.
And they're the only team with the draft capital, in my opinion, that to make a trade down realistic. Buffalo has to be involved.
Yeah, because they have two first-rounders.
And two twos and two threes.
Yeah.
They have six picks in the first three rounds.
But you know what? Here's the other thing that people are not looking at it. If you're Buffalo, there's a lot of value in keeping those picks and helping rebuild your team or retool your team, excuse me, because the Bills – who
they made the playoffs last year.
But they still have plenty of areas of improvement.
Correct.
They got Richie Incognito said, you know, he's hanging it up. So they need to address their offensive line. If I'm Buffalo, I would use those picks, and, you know, you could help yourself in that department. I would not be so quick. I understand A.J. McCarron may not be the answer. I'm a little bit higher on him than most people. That's fine.
Yeah, but if you can get Lamar Jackson at 12?
Well, then why move up then? You have Lamar
which is
Jackson
why
at 12.
I said I don't know if that trade offer is going to come.
No,
it might not.
That to me makes 100% because everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, McCarron's not the answer. Fine. But Buffalo could very well, to your point, grab a quarterback without even moving. And then they have some competition.
And there's even rumors that Josh Rosen might fall out of the top 10. What if that happens?
That's more of a reason why if I'm Buffalo and I'm Brandon Bean, their general manager, I mean, I'm just waiting and watching the draft. I have no urgency to move up well before the draft because who knows? You may get a gift fall to you, and then you're still able to keep all of your picks.
It all depends how you rank the quarterbacks. Like, if you don't think Lamar Jackson's that big of a drop-off from Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, heck, maybe you think Lamar Jackson's better than Josh Allen. I don't know the answer to that question, but I think that's realistic. Then you sit there, which is why I think fans that say, if you don't pick a quarterback, you have to trade down no matter what, there might not be a good trade-down option. That is possible. You need two to tango here, folks. There's no guarantee of it.
Well, and that's an important note. It's not as if the Giants are at two.
They hit a button.
Yeah, and they're like, well, you know, we think we could gain more value if we move down. Yeah, find somebody to trade with, though.
That's the trick.
Not just going to grow on trees where somebody automatically is going to knock on your door. That, I think, makes it a little bit more challenging than people make the dialogue out to be.
But I think all the options I laid out are the options that make sense.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
at this point
would disagree that those three are the most attractive options if you don't go the route of a quarterback.
Those three, trade down quarterback. Those are your five options, and Mike's specific quarterbacks would be Darnold, Mayfield, and Rosen. Personally, again, the Giants front office might think differently, but I think any of those things out there, I think there are logical things that make sense. And I put this on Twitter last night. I'm not sure if you saw it. And I think it's a shame that big decisions like this, and we see it in all sports, fans get into camps, and frankly, it's like this in everything in the world now, politics, the whole nine yards. It's either you do the thing I want you to do, you're a moron, or you're stupid. It's like, you know, you have if you don't pick Barkley, I'm going to quit. They're morons. If you don't pick a quarterback, oh, they're so stupid. How could you do that? What do you mean you didn't trade down? Idiots. Guys, there's not just one good option here. I don't care what camp you're in, all right? I'm an analytical guy. I not completely, but I get it. I understand why you would be hesitant to draft a running back at two. I get it. But if you use Barkley as a weapon and not just a runner, and you utilize him properly in the passing game, I think he can impact you enough to make that pick make a modicum of sense. I do. I honestly think there's a way to do it. Now, if you just use him as a pounded running back and you're not taking advantage of his passing skills, I think it was a mistake. But I know Pat Shurmur. He made the point at the combine how important it is for his running backs to be able to catch the football. So I have confidence that if they draft Saquon Barkley, they will be able to utilize his offense to the point where it will have a huge positive impact on the team, even if that might not be my personal top choice in what they could do.
Congratulations on joining Twitter the other day, based on what you said. I mean, you just realized that that's how the court of public opinion reacts to certain things. Congratulations on joining social media.
I fight the impossible battle, Lance.
Well, good luck with fighting the impossible battle. I pat you on the back for that. I mean, that is a valiant effort. The one thing, though, I will add, listen, when you look at the running back position, there's examples, John, across the board, and I've laid this out multiple times, where I could say it was a nice job by the team taking a running back in the top five, for example, Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette, even though those sample sizes, in fairness, are still very small. And then I could look at the Kansas City Chiefs, who got Kareem Hunt in the third round, and, you know, that worked out so far well for them, too.
And remember, the Jaguars with that Fournette went 3-0 last year. So how much of that was Fournette? How much was it the way they're running their team? So,
yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
And would the Cowboys be better off of having drafted Jalen Ramsey instead of Ezekiel Elliott? Maybe.
You can make that argument.
Time will tell.
Given the issues on defense.
Sure.
Yeah, and then also, using Pat Shurmur's example, he just came from a team that went out and signed Latavius Murray in free agency, and he was a low pick, or he may have been undrafted, to be honest with you, and Jerick McKinnon, who also wasn't a top pick. Those were his two running backs.
And where'd they draft Alvin Cook? Top of round two. Where did the Giants pick this year?
Top of round two.
Top of round two.
And Cook was on pace to have a great year. Unfortunately, he went down.
With a similarly deep running back class as he had last year.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. I told you I'd talk a long time. I didn't make it up. I wasn't lying.
At all. I was here to experience it firsthand. I can attest to that.
I warned you ahead of time. Let's go to Tim in New Jersey. He's up next. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you doing?
What's up, Tim?
Bless you.
Yes.
Although Giants will draft Saquon Barkley out of Penn State in the second round, draft James Daniels out of Iowa in the second round, draft Brady Smith out of Auburn in the third round, sign Dez Bryant to a 3-year contract and trade Eric Flowers to the Titans for Jack Conklin and the 2019 fifth-round pick.
No, okay, Tim, thanks for the call.
Mind-boggling.
You started off okay.
I was going to say, and then we went
you
off.
You did all right. I don't think James Daniels will be there at the top of the second round, but I don't think it's impossible that it happens. I'd be very surprised. I think Billy Price out of Ohio State is a more realistic spot for him, and Saquon Barkley, that's fine. First of all, we've talked about why no Dez. I'm not going to get into it again. But three-year deal?
Wait, forget that.
I'm getting there.
Come on.
Eric Flowers for Jack Conklin? Really? Come on, Tim.
Come on.
I love you.
Tim,
and you're a good call. You've been on a lot. You asked good questions.
Come on,
but
Tim.
You might not even get just the fifth-round pick. Okay?
Eric Flowers for Conklin.
No. On their contracts, Conklin is you know what? I'm not even going to do it.
But I tell you, if the Giants get all that accomplished, that is a hell of a transaction, a hell of a draft. I'll tell you that.
Dave Gettleman had a busy weekend.
Well,
let me tell you.
If he pulls that
busy
off.
Weekend.
That is something.
Let's go to Phil in North Carolina. He's up next. Hey, Phil, what's going on?
Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Phil. Go ahead.
All right, good. Okay, I'm going to give you some names here, and you tell me what the answer is.
Yes.
Okay? Kind of like a reverse Jeopardy. So,
sure.
Here it goes. Okay? Alex Webster, Tucker Fredrickson, Rocky Thompson, Ron Dane, Tyrone Wheatley, and Brown. Okay, that's one group.
What are running backs that were picked high that didn't work out?
The other
for
group
for 200
is,
or 300.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The other group is Ron Johnson, okay, Joe Morris, Tiki Barber, and Brandon Jacobs and Maude Bradshaw.
What are non-first round pick running backs that turned out to be really good players and helped you win Super Bowls?
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show you it's an inexact science. That's exactly what you
and,
laid
and,
out.
And you know what, though, Phil? You're right, and I should have brought this up in my spiel. I had so many points. I missed this one. You can – running backs more than any other position, and Bill Barnwell had this study where he went through the last, I think, 14 or 15 drafts, or maybe even 20, and he looked at who the first running back picked was in each draft, and less than 50% of the time was the first running back picked in those drafts the best running back picked in those drafts. So it goes to your point that you can find running backs later that are better than the guys that go early, no question.
Well, and the reason why I think those percentages play out that way, John, is because the running back is so dependent on the other factors around them.
It's a product of his surroundings rather than him being – the surroundings being a product of the running back.
Yeah, it's the environment.
Yeah.
So you have to take that
Phil,
into consideration.
We're with you.
Okay. But that's the global answer. But the specific answer is our history of picking running backs. And obviously I'm going to side with John that I really don't want them to pick number two, Barkley. I really don't. It's the value is not there. Trade down number one or pick Chubb. That's it. That's the only two options that are successful for me. And I've been around this franchise long enough, as you can tell by the names I kind of spouted.
Yeah.
And had the highs and the low, many lows, okay? And I know Dave Gettleman is not listening to me.
No, or
but,
me.
But that's my plea today.
Well, Phil, here's a question. Would you be really upset if they picked Quentin Nelson?
I would be less upset. I actually would be less upset.
Okay.
Because he fits. I agree with Dave Gettleman about the gold jacket. You get a gold jacket there, okay, I can live with that. But
I hope you can live with that.
yeah. Just no. And I would argue plead with Dave. I don't think his first round pick last year was worth the first round.
McCaffrey?
I think he's a nice player, but who would you rather have, Hunt or McCaffrey?
You know, Phil, here's the funny thing about McCaffrey. I think he's a bad mix with Cam Newton. And Cam Newton's one of these weird quarterbacks. He's more accurate throwing down the field than he is throwing short. And I think you almost use McCaffrey as much as a slot receiver as you do as using him as a running back. It's kind of like a cross between the two. I think if you put McCaffrey in the right system and you use him right with the right quarterback, like if you put Christian McCaffrey with Drew Brees, I think he could be better than Alvin Kamara was last year in terms of being impactful with the Saints. But I get your point overall.
Yes, I agree with that. And which leads me to my going away statement here. Is that after we're finished with the draft, what I would like you to do is poll people to see, out of all the announcers, and you guys do a great job, who do people side with? Kind of an informal poll. So I'm going to give you my ranking, and no offense to anybody, and my percentage is where I tend to agree with people. So just to lead off, it's a tie between Jeff and John. I tend to agree with you guys about 90% of the time. Lance is not far off, though. Lance is probably around 85%, and I hope Paul doesn't get upset. I'm about 60% with Paul, David, of course, is great, and when Russ was on, I was probably around 30% with Russ. So no offense, Russ, but it definitely dropped off after Lance, and there was a cluster up there, and then there was a big gap. But all you guys do a great job, and the beauty of it is that you get differences of opinion, even though you don't agree with it. So kudos to Paul and Rush and those guys.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay? All right, Phil. Appreciate
and,
the phone
and
call.
Trust me, but Paul knows more about the Giants. He's been around longer than Lance and I put together. He knows his stuff. And look, we disagree sometimes. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes he's right. Sometimes neither of us are right, and we're all wrong. So we all have different opinions. We come from different perspectives. And the beauty of it is that we can actually debate those opinions in a calm, logical way and not point fingers at each other and try to, send Twitter mobs.
Well, as long as Paul's not shaking your body in the midst of having that conversation, which I have been on the wrong side of, I could attest to over the last few weeks. So it depends on the circumstances, John, but I agree with your point. I just wanted to bring up one thing with McCaffrey.
Sure.
First of all, we're just talking about one season, so
yes.
I'm very leery.
And he
actually
came on the second half of the year, too, running the football a little bit more.
He did, and also, I mean, I just brought up the Panthers' numbers just to confirm what I initially thought. I mean, McCaffrey led the team in receptions this season, too.
What, he had 80?
He had 80.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now granted, they traded Kelvin Benjamin, personnel changed, I get that.
Here's
but
the problem, though.
They did utilize him this
only
past season.
Only for 650 yards, and I think that's where they underutilized him. I think they utilized him more as a dump-off back instead of putting him into routes down the field.
That's fair.
If you watch him at Stanford, he ran routes like wide receiver.
He did.
So I think if you used him more, you know, when he comes out of the backfield, instead of, you know, taking a linebacker into the flat, take him up the field. Catch the ball in motion. And I think that's where I think the Panthers will use him a little bit better this
year.
Well,
I will tell you this. The first thing that's interesting that you brought that up, I'm sure some people are going to point out, well, Mike Shula was with the Panthers offense last year, and Mike Shula's here with the Giants. Not trying to create some controversy, but one person out there I know is going to write that to us. Number two, Norv Turner is the new offensive coordinator, John. And remember, he's worked with a lot of good running backs and has made them productive. Emmitt Smith is one guy that comes to mind, but I'll even give you somebody that's not Hall of Famer. He was with Lamont Jordan, people forget, with the Raiders. How do I know this? Because Lamont Jordan was on my fantasy team that year. I had to say that. And Lamont Jordan was very productive. So, and we're looking at it from a statistical standpoint anyway. That's why I think it's relevant. So I'm very intrigued to see what Norv Turner does for Christian McCaffrey.
Me too.
Based on how he's utilized running backs.
And we'll see if they use McCaffrey more in the running game too, with Jonathan Stewart not there, who had almost 200 carries for them last year.
Exactly.
So maybe McCaffrey will be used more in
the
running game.
The role expands.
Too.
No, absolutely. Yep. That's why you got to look at how personnel changes.
Yep. Let's go to Roy in South Carolina. He's next up. Hi, Roy. How are you?
Hey, guys. First of all, thanks for taking my call. Secondly, what an amazing couple of weeks you guys did with interviewing so many people with so much knowledge. It was information overload, but this was the first year that I really followed the draft on BBK and just really listening to the opinions, and it was just remarkable. And
thank you, Roy.
I just got to say, as a fan, thank you.
Well, thank you for following it.
And you're welcome. Thank you, and thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
It was awesome. So I got a couple of comments. You know, one of the things that that struck me about Gettleman is he said, big men win games.
Yep.
And, you know, so obviously whatever they're going to do in the draft, you know, everyone's got an opinion. My opinion is I think Gettleman and Shermer and everybody in the office, they know what they're doing. So I'm just going to leave it up to them.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So secondly, you know, one of the things that I remember Gettleman saying is that depth. We've got to have depth.
He did say that.
And you know, and because we lost JPP, we lost Beckham, our depth was so thin last year that, we struggled. The O-line struggled. Everybody struggled. I should say our team struggled because we had no depth. So whatever they're going to do in the draft, I think that's the two things they're going to look at, is they're definitely going to put big guys in there and have depth.
Yep, I agree.
The other thing that he added, Roy, before we let you continue, is he said you can never have too many good players in one position, which also is connected to your point about depth.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that, I love Paul. I tell you, I like the fact, you know, he's a Hog Molly lover. I am too, because I think about the way we won games. We won Super Bowls. We won games. And this is... Yes, I will agree with both of you. This is a passing lead, but the enemy is the clock. And if you cannot run the time down, you know, I remember watching so many games in the last several years is that we had, you know, we had 3 minutes on the clock, and then we would turn the ball over with a minute and a half left. The opponents had two timeouts, and they crushed us.
But Roy, my question for you.
Yeah.
Is that, do you have to use a first-round pick to solve the 4-minute offense problem? And to me, you can find a
Agreed.
Guy that can do that around two or three.
Absolutely. And so I know that that's one of the things that I hope that we look at in the draft and in, you know, before camp, training camp, is that we look at players who are going to give us that ability. Because Eli is a master with the 4-minute clock. Let me back that up. He's a master in the two minute drill.
Sure. Yeah.
He can flat kill it in 2 minutes. But when we start turning the ball over with a minute and 15 seconds, and they just kill us. So I'm hoping that we will solve that. And no, we don't have to give up the second pick for that. And, you know, the other thing that concerns me. Is I noticed that I realized that this is voluntary camp.
Yeah.
But we have a new coach, we have a new GM, we have a new scheme, we have new personnel. We have new players. And the thing that the really thing that concerns me is that we have players who were there last year who are not here now. And I have to say, Eric Flowers, where are you? And I understand and I know that it's just shirts and underwear, but camaraderie, getting to know each other, reading the playbook. Hey, did you see this play? Let me look at this play. I didn't realize that kind of information that they can get, that they pass along each other. That's what part of the team is. It's bouncing you two guys and Paulie and Jeff. How you guys all bounce off of each other. That's what this camp is for. It's to kind of get to know each other, kind of go over the playbook, kind of go over some schemes. And so it really bothers me that here you are a veteran. You're on the team. Right now you're on the team. Where are you?
No, Roy, I appreciate the call. Thank you, man.
Odell is here.
Yeah, he was.
Because he, and I see the people that are here, they want to know, they want to learn, they want to win.
Yep. Roy, we're with you. Thanks a lot for the call, buddy. And look, I think the coaching staff and Pat Shurmur said it, he would prefer if everybody's here. He thinks it's really important to get to learn everything. And look, Flowers isn't just learning a new playbook, Lance. He's learning a new position.
Yeah, in terms of going back to where he was in college at the beginning of his career and competing at that position also, not being handed and guaranteed a starting
job.
Which he's not. And they made
that point very clear to him. He'll be given the opportunity to start a right tackle is what he was told when they signed Nate Solder.
Pat Shurmur's exact line was, I know it's voluntary, but I find it necessary.
Necessary,
which
that
I
was the word.
Thank you. Very interesting in terms of how he laid it out. And he was asked again about it earlier today. And he was actually asked whether or not he's been in communication with him. Is it easy to help teach a player even though the player's not here? And they have said they've had some communication with Eric Flowers, but there's only so much you can get done on the telephone, clearly.
Matt, I'm going to leave Len for last. He's going to be our cleanup hitter today. So let's go to Nick in Montclair, and then we'll get to Len to close out the show. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
I got two quick points. I'll take them both off the air. First one, is Saquon Barkley Reggie Bush 2.0? Great player, but not Hall of Fame player.
I think he's probably, because of his height, weight, speed, he's a bigger back, so I think he can probably be a better running back than Reggie Bush, and I think I would hope that Barkley could have better health than Reggie Bush did over his career.
Yeah, I mean, to me, to your point, Nick, it's not that Reggie Bush wasn't a talented player. He couldn't stay on the field. I mean, that's what, to me, held Reggie Bush back. And, yes, he wasn't a guy that you were going to give 25 carries to. I don't think any team envisioned that personally. No. I think they looked at him as a jack-of-all-trades type of running back. But when you look back at Reggie Bush's career, to me, it's the fact that never could stay on the field.
But, Nick, I will say this. If you want to look at the worst-case scenario for a Saquon Barkley, I think the worst-case scenario for a Saquon Barkley, if everything goes wrong, would be Reggie Bush. And that's not a bad worst-case scenario.
Well, because Bush had a similar skill set.
Correct.
So that's fair.
Yeah. And then the second issue is Davis Webb. I didn't want them to draft a quarterback last year. But assuming Eli plays out his full contract, I think they need to go quarterback this year because Davis Webb will only be under contract for 1 year as a starter. There's no fifth-year option. You have to pay him right away. Whereas if you draft a QB this year, you have him for 2 years, and then you get the fifth-year option for your pay him.
Well, remember, there is no fifth-year option for Webb because he's a third-round pick.
Well, that's what he said.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Well, what I'll add to that, though, Nick, is I get it. You know, all of a sudden now you got to pay it. But let's face it, even if Davis Webb is the starter for 1 year, I highly doubt that the market is going to dictate where he's going to get the type of money of some of these other veterans that we see getting that.
Well,
so
remember, Jimmy Garoppolo started 6 games, and he got paid $30 million
true. Listen,
a year.
That is a great point. That's a great point, and that would be a counter to what I just said.
Right.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but
it all depends how well he plays when he finally does start.
Correct.
And that's going to be it.
Jimmy Garoppolo also, to me, coming out of college and who he was coached by and where he went to,
yeah,
I think also helped his stock. Too.
Sure.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be overly worried.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
To me, Nick, and appreciate the phone call, it's not enough to look at Davis Webb's contract, Eli Manning's contract, and say we need a quarterback. That's not strong enough rationale, John. You can't push yourself in that direction simply because you're worried about the economics and how they're going to play out a year or two down the road.
Nothing bothers me more, Lance, when somebody says you have to take somebody. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything.
Do we have to take a phone call, though, coming up here?
I guess we do.
Okay. All right.
Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, you're my final caller before the draft starts, and I'm honored. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Lance, I heard you.
Well,
I heard you.
I'm just lighting the mood, Len. Don't read into it. Listen, to be honest with you, Len, the only reason I'm picking on you is because Charlie didn't call in today. Yeah. If Charlie called in,
those
would have been talking
two questions.
One. Yes.
You put Beckham, Barkley, and a plug-in guard on the field, and we're 5 wins better. So I want Barkley, but I'm worried about that second pick, John. You alluded to it. I think when we get out around pick 25, I think Wynn's going to be gone. I think he's probably going to go late teens, maybe as late as 20.
I agree.
I don't think Hernandez is going to be there.
It'll be
either.
Close. It'll
there's
be close.
There's just too much, you know, the size.
Yep.
People are going to be enamored with that. Plus, he's a good player. Yep. No question about that. I think there's going to be a run on interior offensive linemen.
I think you'll have your choice line of Billy Price or Frank Ragnow. If you want a guard or a center, I think those will be the two guys that I'm pretty sure will be on the board for you at 34, and I think those will be the guys you choose from. And I think those are two very good players, so I think you'll be okay with that.
I think those are two very good players, but I think that's I think, you know, the one unit we've been talking about all season, from January 2nd on, is – we got to improve the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, we made some strides. We got a little setback with Flowers here. Not sure what this all means, what's going to happen, et cetera. But we need an offensive lineman out of these first two picks. But I really want Barkley. Now, what do I think they're going to do? I think they're going to pick Rosen, John.
I think they're going to pick Barkley, Len. And I don't know what they're going to do, but if you said, John, tell me what you think the Giants will do at number two right now, my guess, and it's an educated guess, but I don't know anything. If I had to put my life on the line, I'd say Saquon Barkley.
Well, Len, do you say Rosen? Why do you think they're going to pick Rosen?
I just think he's the easier transition to Eli. And if you're sitting there, you know, I don't even want to talk about it, but if we're sitting at 2-6, 1-7 at the break, the easiest transition amongst these four guys is Rosen.
Yeah.
And I think the conventional wisdom of the NFL, you can't bypass the quarterback.
If you believe in the guy.
I believe they bought into that. I'm not against it, believe me. I mean, these guys know more than I do. But I think that's the conventional wisdom, and I think they're going to go quarterback, and I think it's going to be Rosen. I think it's the easier transition. Beautiful mechanics. That ball comes out of his hand so easy, guys. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. The rotation on the ball, it'll cut through that wind at Giant Stadium.
Len, I'll say this.
I think that's where they're going. I think they're going to go with Rosen.
Len, I'll say this.
I want Barkley, John.
Len.
I want Barkley and a plug-in guard.
Len, real quick, I'll say this real fast. I think maybe Mayfield's a little bit higher on my board than Rosen, but in my head, if I try to picture both guys in a Giants uniform, Rosen feels right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mayfield seems weird. You know what I mean? I'm not sure why. They just do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mayfield, to me, is my highest guy, but I would agree with you.
But, hey, give me Barkley and, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, Daniels. I'm not sure he's going to be there. I think he's probably 28
That's
or 29,
tight.
Somewhere
tight.
In that range.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still got to do some work on that offensive line. I mean, whoever we get is going to be a terrific player.
And remember, two picks at the top of round three, Len. If you got a Braden Smith sitting there, Jamarco Jones to tackle, you might be able to get a good offensive line at the top of round three also. So don't discount that.
Okay, well, I hear
Austin
you.
Corbett?
I'm just kind of locked in. I'm locked in on Daniels.
Hey, he's a hell of a player.
And,
I don't blame you.
I'm hoping he's there. I don't think he's going to be. But you threw out some alternatives in Ragnow and Price and maybe even the guy from Nevada.
Yeah.
Whose name escapes
Corbett,
me now.
Austin Corbett.
Yeah. He's a mean guy, too. And I think we're going to need that along the offensive line. Okay. Hey, listen, it's going
to
be a lot of fun. You guys were great.
Thanks,
Len.
Really
great.
Appreciate it.
Prepping us for this thing was – and some really terrific guests. The one thing that stayed with me. I forget who the guest was. I want to say he was the guy from Orlads.
Okay, Shanka.
Describe Barkley as a weapon.
Yep, that was a good one.
Give me that.
And he also
thanks,
said,
guys.
Thanks, Len. He also said Josh Allen couldn't hit a bull in the rear end with a handful of peas. That was by far my favorite quote of the whole draft process. Well, couldn't hit a bull in the rear end with a handful of peas. That was my favorite quote of all the guests we had. Yeah. I'll never forget that
line. Boy, is that some line. Wow. May have to make it open just with that in.
I know you're on tomorrow, but any final thoughts for me? If you're the Giants, what do you do, and what do you predict the Giants will do?
Well, I agree with you in terms of your dissertation earlier in the program, so I don't need to necessarily revisit that.
That's
fine. I would agree that if you don't want a quarterback, if that's their plan, then to me, I'm content with Barkley, Chubb, or Nelson. One of those three.
And who would you pick?
I would pick Barkley.
Okay.
Nelson would be two. Chubb is third on
okay.
my list.
That's fair.
In terms of my rankings, almost flip of what you laid out. But that's how I would go about it.
That's fine.
If they feel the quarterback is the best possible position and they're all in the room sold on a guy, that to me is choice number one.
I agree.
You take the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Then you choose between the three non-quarterbacks.
And you would choose one of those three instead of trading down?
Yes, without hesitation.
Okay.
I would choose one of those three.
Got it.
Yeah, the only way that I'm trading down is they're giving me the first round pick next year.
And you want to stay at 5 or 6? Or would you go down to 12 if you get the one next year?
I'd be willing to go to 12 and 22.
If you get the one next year.
But you have to get the number one next year.
I think that's
a
fair stance.
The conversation does not go beyond that unless I get the one.
Well, Lance, I got to get out to practice.
Sounds good.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to have to practice. Watch day two of Voluntary Minicamp. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Tomorrow we have our normal show at noon with Lance and Jeff. And then we stream at night, Giants Draft Night Live. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, David Deal will be live from MetLife Stadium. And then I will be here. Paul Dottino will be around as well. Madeline Burke will be in Dallas. And Brandon Lund will be around as well. So a cavalcade of people will be hosting that show. Then we're back on Friday at noon. Then our special draft BBKs, 6:30 Friday night and 11:30 on Saturday afternoon. Make sure you tune in. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmoe. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for being part of our draft process here on Giants.com. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good one.